Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician, Danny Whitson. I hope my Abracadamits are having a good week, like always. I'm doing good. I'm a little tired, though, with this daylight savings thing. Had to get a little extra bump in my coffee this morning just to get going a little bit. I personally don't understand why we still do it. I think it's ridiculous. I'm over it, you know, but, I'm pretty sure everyone else is, too. So, who knows? Maybe things will change. I don't know. I'm a little excited. I got that Moderna shot. Yeah, got my Moderna down in some alley in downtown Knoxville. Some dude in a jacket was selling them shots. Just kidding. Actually, I looked up and rolled up on a COVID clinic at my pharmacy and was able to get my shot a little early. So, and from what I hear, they have plenty of vaccines for anyone really wanting to get their vaccine. So if you have not been vaccinated, I highly recommend you get that shot, baby, so we can get back to living life normal. One thing I want to address real quick, something I've noticed is one thing me and Antoinette was talking, and we cannot stand people who finish your sentence when you're talking to them. You know what I mean? If you're having a conversation and all of a sudden you're telling them and then they finish the sentence, that means they're not listening to you. They don't care. They're stuck in their own head. So something that I decided I'm going to do next time this happens to me is I'm going to throw a little plot twist at the end of my sentence. You know, kind of throw something at them. Like, right when I get to the end and they start to finish my sentence, I'm going to say something like, "And the clouds were shitting bananas." Just to throw them off and be like, "Yeah, you didn't see that one coming, did you?" So definitely going to try that. Maybe you should try it too. People try to finish your sentences. I can't stand when people finish my sentence. And something else I can't stand is doing my own laundry. That's right, guys. Today's episode is brought to you by Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Service. Located at 122 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Drop your laundry off at Bob's. Leave, go do something, live your life, and come back, and it'll be nice, clean, and folded, and ready to go. Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Service. Give Bob a call at 865-951-3237. Let Bob take care of your laundry needs. Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Service. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Grove Barbershop, located at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Owner and barber Jeff Hackler does one heck of a job, folks. Jeff's been cutting my hair for a while now, and every time he does a fantastic job. And Jeff has adapted to the COVID times. You don't even have to just walk into the shop. You make an appointment. Go to grovebarbershop.com, make you an appointment, and then it's just you and Jeff there. So you don't have to worry about anybody else in there coughing and hacking and getting germs on stuff. Let Jeff take care of you at the Grove Barbershop and make your appointment today at thegrovebarbershop.com. Give Jeff a call at 865-482-2210. Now, today's guest, Abracadamits, is, she's one of my favorite comics. She's a fantastic comedian. And I've known her for a while. And I have seen this woman work magic in rooms. I've seen her walk into a room that you just thought, man, this is a dead room. And she has brought the fire and turned it up and had them laughing, rolling in the seats. So I tell you what, Abracadamits, sit back, relax, and enjoy my fun conversation with stand-up comedian Jen Snyder. Okay, we've got Jen Snyder. How you doing, Jen?
Great, Danny. How are you?
Doing good. I'm doing good. I'm keeping myself busy, so I'm not going too crazy. What about you?
About the same, but it's real hard not to, right?
Well, I tell you what, I've known you for a while.
But if you don't mind, introduce yourself to the Abracadam listeners.
My name is Jen Snyder. I am a full-time professional comedian from Columbia, South Carolina. And I have just recently become a writer and also a cartoon voiceover. So I've done some of that while 2020 was going on. So I got to add that to the repertoire. So
that is super cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I didn't know you were doing the cartoon voiceover stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got lucky. I got a really good friend who sold a cartoon to Netflix called Jet Boy. So I get to be voiceover for a character on that he wrote with me in mind. So I'm like, yes, that's awesome.
Oh, that's so that he wrote the character for you.
Kind, not for me, but he had me in mind when he wrote it, and he definitely wanted me to voice it. She's a lunch lady mercenary, but she's definitely a lesbian. So I was like, all right, hey, do that.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, well, here's the you know, I've said this before, and I gotta say it on the podcast. I have to say this on the podcast for you guys. If you are listening and you have never seen Jen Snyder perform, first of all, I tell people right now in the Southeast, you know, I've got a top five list of stand up comics. Okay, and Jen Snyder's at the top of that list. And notice I didn't say female comics. I didn't say lesbian comics. I said comics. Okay. Now, I'll be honest. I sometimes if I have an act open for me, I like a tough act. I like a strong act because it makes me get on my toes and it makes me work and it makes me bring it. But there's one act I would never, ever want to follow. And that is Jen Snyder, especially when she's on fire, boy. I'm telling you. I've seen you walk into, for Jen Snyder could go into a cemetery and wake that bitch up and kill it again. Okay. I mean, that's how good of a comic she is.
Oh, well, Danny, first of all, I just assume I'm your favorite lesbian comic. You know what I mean? That goes without saying. And man, you're so kind. You've always been so kind to me. We've been buds for, man, several years now. There was that one year that we didn't even talk. I didn't even see all of 2020. Shit, does that year even count? Yeah, man, I work hard, so I appreciate you saying all that. I really do. I really, really do. Who are the other four in your top five? Let's hear.
You know, and well, and I gotta say, and I'm really to this region real biased, you know. I've done some, I've done some of those open mic Zoom shows with the LA comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to be dead honest, man. God, they suck, dude. It's. I mean, I'm sorry, but so many of them suck.
Yeah.
I think Dusty Slay, I'm going to throw in at number two.
Yeah.
Dusty Slay is, gosh, he's really, man.
He's killing it now, too, yeah.
He is. And the good thing about Dusty is he's a clean comic that you don't realize is clean.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's that. That's my number two. Let me think because it's switched around some. And plus I ain't heard some people in a minute. It's been a minute.
Right.
You know, well, let me bring this up because this is something that I think you are amazing at. Is reading a room, and it doesn't seem like you're ever scared to walk into a tough audience or a tough room. Have you always been like that, or is that something that you've had to develop over time?
Yeah, I think it's just always how I've been, because I feel like that's kind of how I've had to live my life. You know, like I look the way I do and I am the way I am. And so my whole life's been a tough room. It's why I became funny, is because people, you know, were mean about it. They're still mean about it. I go places now and I'm like, damn, it is 2020. Like, you've never seen a lesbian before. You done been out in this world this whole time. You've never seen a butch one. Like, what are you staring at? It ain't even that exciting. But yeah, man, I that's why I like those now. That's what I want now. Kind of I feel nervous when a crowd likes me a lot. I'm like, oh, shit. But when they don't like me, I'm like, it's kind of a, you know, it's a competition. It's like, oh, I'm going to get you. I see you over there, middle-aged white dude with your arms crossed. I'm going to get you. And they look so mad every time. I'm like, ha, you laughed. He laughed at a gay that makes you gay now. Club.
You know, and that's probably like that's your magic power, is that, you know, that guy in there is like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna like her, and then you pop off with the stuff that you say, and it's freaking hilarious, and maybe they walk away scratching their head, and they're like, you know, lesbians ain't that bad, you know. So,
Danny, that's my life dream, man. If one person goes out and is not mean to their local butch lesbian, I feel like my life was worth it, you know. Like, that's God's work, damn it.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I guess there are a few lesbian comics out. I mean, now it's. I'm trying to think of how many that I actually know when I said that, you know, my favorite.
Yeah, like that you've worked with. Like, I always hear that I don't need to exist because Fortune Feimster does. And I'm like, we're so vastly different. She's from North Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. I'm like the trailer trash version of her. Don't you want to see that?
You guys are totally different.
Yeah.
I think you're more high energy than she is, and more animated. I mean, I'm not knocking her as a comic. I think she's a good comic. Okay.
Well, yeah, and she's clean too. I mean, if there's like an angel and a devil of lesbian comedy, definitely in Fortune Feimster. I would love to open for her. I don't know. The Comedy Zone never seems to want to let me do it. They had she was here, and they did the baseball stadium here, and they had a North Carolina dude open for her, and I was like, you have a lesbian comic that lives right here. You know how many lesbians would have come out just for me? Like, and you wouldn't have had to give me a hotel room. What you thinking? I live here.
That's true. I wonder why. You know how comedy clubs can be, though. They can be, you know, that, oh, you can't have too many women on a show, or you can't have, you know, that.
Yeah. They just started working me, so I really shouldn't complain at all. You know, take my little measly ducats, but. I don't know why sometimes clubs don't want to take a chance on me. I think they think that people won't like me, but I feel like if you think that, you've never seen my act, you know, like you've never seen what I do. I look like I would be somebody that people, and I get that, but I use that to my advantage all the time. Cause then you're mad staring at me like, ooh. If you don't like me, you're looking at me like I'm ready to hate everything out of this bitch's mouth. And if you do like me, you're waiting to enjoy it. So I've just, you know, I've been working that so long that I know how to do that. You can send me anywhere. You can send me to your redneckiest bar. You can send me to your most gangster club in a big city. I don't care. I'm going to win them over. I'm going to make a friend.
You know, I mean, at the Grove Theater, I wouldn't say the Grove Theater is necessarily an easy room, you know. They are there to see comedy, but they're not drunk. They're not, you know. And every time you've come, you've always just killed it, you know. You have to be a solid comic to do, you know, the Grove Theater, and people love you. But you know, when you come there, they you know, they love it. If anybody can, you know, I would have no issues at all as a booker booking you, knowing that, you know, Jen's gonna do her job. Jen's gonna do what she's gonna do.
Thank you.
So I don't understand. I don't understand that, but you know, the main thing is I guess one of the pros to what social media has done for show business and entertainers is, you know, that club don't have to book you. Okay. And you don't have to go that route anymore to make it in comedy. You know, we know a lot of people who have a lot of success on social media with viral videos and building their following that way. You do something like in the tub, something tub time with Jim. What is it? What is it called?
It's been Quarantubby for this last year. So I've been basically just entertaining people from my parents' bathtub, drinking and smoking and drinking champagne. And people like that for some reason. I have no idea why. It has taken off like some other people's things, but I do enjoy it. And it is a lot of fun. And I have gained some fans that way.
I think it's probably just the crap that comes out your mouth is what, you know, people.
Yeah, I got a weird picture for that. But we know a lot of people that have gotten real, real famous. The Well Read Boys got. I mean, yeah. Trey killing it. Drew and Corey are killing it too. Every time I open up Reddit now, I feel like I see Corey. It's like, hey, I know him.
I just had a couple episodes ago, I had Brent Terhune, who was doing great.
Oh yeah.
I just now it hadn't came out yet, but Brandon Rainwater is having a lot of success on TikTok.
Oh, nice. Good for Brandon. That's good.
He's killing it on TikTok. It's insane. Right on. So, you know, there's that's kind of like the way now, you know, that's kind of like the way how you have to do it almost, which is, I was a little frustrated because it's not good enough to be good enough in show business anymore. You got to have a following. You got to have, how many followers do you have on this or that, you know? And it's, like I said, it's a little frustrating because you know how hard you got to work just to get that hour that you're proud of.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And now that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean, it doesn't make, like that TikTok person or that social media person who may not even be a comic who has, you know, a million followers is going to headline over you.
Yeah. You know,
and
I mean, that's been happening for a minute now. There's a lot of people I know that aren't as solid of a comic, but came up with a really good gimmick. And now there's some people that can back that up. Trey Crowder is a good comic. He got lucky that, you know, and put him where he is. But he's actually a very funny man. He's a great comedian. But you know, there's people like what's that Southern Mama guy. He ain't a good comic. He was only an open micer for a few months before he hit like that. So he didn't have anything. So, you know, am I upset that people are less talented than me, have more followers and stuff and are getting, but that's probably my fault in some way. But I know that if I just keep working and get that up, that when the time comes, I won't have to, you know, I won't be scared when the Netflix is like, do you have an hour? I'm like, what do you want? I got a couple hours. But yeah, just let me go. So, that's the good part of it, I guess.
I like to see people who, you know, if it's a comic and it hits, I love it. When I see, you know, something else, I'm not going to lie, it's annoying, you know, if they're, you know, like, but it is what it is, you know. So I just kind of, you know, we'll see what happens. And my main thing is, Jen, is one thing 2020 has really taught, you know, 2020 taught me is, you know, don't look at other people's plate. You know, focus on you, you know, you worry about you, and just kind of go from there. And that's what I've been doing. So, but you know, I do root for my friends and I want them to be as successful as they possibly can. So, like I said, I saw your corn tub, I guess, you know, that's, you know, do your thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to take it over to TikTok, see if I can make it translate to a few followers over there. I really like TikTok. It's a cool forum. I made fun of it for a long time, but now that I watch it, it's full of, you know, so much wholesome content, more wholesome content than Facebook, honestly.
Oh, Facebook is horrible. And, you know, I hate Facebook and I wish I didn't have to be on Facebook, you know, but you know, it is, I'm liking Instagram. I used to make fun of Instagram all the time because it's just like the most pompous, egotistic thing, taking pictures of yourself every 5 minutes. You know, this is what I'm doing today. You know, the same thing tomorrow. But at least people can't like run their damn mouth as much on Instagram as they do on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people don't argue in the comments like they do on Facebook.
I don't do that no more. You know, I mean, like, luckily, I. Well, I've cleaned up my feed or something because I don't see those idiotic comments and stuff that's, you know, going to trigger me to chime in and have a Facebook argument with some moron, you know.
Yeah.
Every now and then want to slip through the cracks and say something super stupid and I'll have to go like, who the fuck are you? And, you know, go block them and unfriend them and be like, how'd you get on here? You know, but that's cool with TikTok too. Yeah. You don't have that either.
Mm-hmm. I usually let my friends take them in the comments. I let them say one or two things and then I'm like, you got to go. But honestly, I've been able to cultivate a lot of that too. And I have friends that are, you know, different opinions and we're still friends, but I make it a point to never comment on their stuff if I don't agree on it. And that's all I ask for, you know, if you don't like it, cool. Keep scrolling. I do the same when I see your dumb, crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and you know, what is it about that like anytime if there's something local in the news about gay marriage or some type of LGBTQ rights, all in like the local news when they post something, I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I but I go to the comments and I want to see just, and the only reason why I do this, Jen, is I want to see who I hate, who I secretly, you know, want to go after. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I always, man, I feel sorry for people that get all upset about stuff like that, because I think the things that, I don't know, that I think the things I hate in people the most are the things that I hate in myself, you know? I hate selfishness and I hate greed, and I know that I can do both those things and be an angry person, and I hate that in people. I think people that are so worried about gay people, what gay people are doing, it's like, man, it's because you're so gay inside and you're scared of that. You're so scared. There's something in you that is just, you know, and it's either you're afraid of yourself or someone else put that prejudice in you and you don't even know why, but it's, you know, who cares?
Yeah. There's it's, no cares. It's to me, well, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of stuff comes from, and I'm not picking on religion, but religion does have a tendency that tried to label sexuality, it's either black or white, and it's not. Sexuality, there's a lot of gray area,
yeah,
in sexuality. And like, I don't believe anyone's 100% straight. I have a hard time believing anyone is, you know. You know, one day me and Antoinette, now Antoinette, we were talking, and I don't want to go too I don't want to get too dirty here, but she was we were talking about oral sex, and she was like, it's really not that bad. And I was like, damn, we ain't talking about me trying broccoli. What are you talking about? It ain't that bad, you know? So, but, yeah, I mean, you know, there's just a lot of gray area though, you know, and if we were to teach that instead of you're either this or you're that, you know, I mean, come on, man.
All right. I think it's sort of let people decide for themselves, you know, and really at this time and at this point in the world, like, who cares? Just, you know, date whoever's, you know, nice to you and does that thing that you like with their mouth, you know, like if I met a dude I really liked and I felt there was great chemistry with him, I would date him, but that just has not happened to me. That's just not where my proclivities lie. and you know, so whatever, you know, I wish people didn't care so much about shit that didn't affect them, you know. My being gay don't affect you. Don't, you know, has your power bill changed any from our conversation just now? Probably not. You know, don't affect you. If I get married, will, you know, that make your and Antoinette's marriage any less valuable? No, it won't. So who cares? I don't know.
Yeah, people are, I hate that too. I don't understand, but I think those people are dying out, and, you know, kind of, you know, I hope.
I thought, and then we had, you know, these last 4 years, and I think that it, you know, people get mad about PC culture and all that stuff like that, but I really think what it boils down to is you're tired. You don't want people telling you to stop being an asshole. You know, you're just so mad about that. And, because people ask me that all the time. Oh, is PC culture hurting your comedy? No. Because my comedy's not affected by that. Because I, you know, I'm not a jerk. I don't say anything that I wouldn't say. If I'm going to make fun of you in some way, somehow, you will be laughing. You know what I mean? I don't believe in that stuff of being mean to people. I don't, that's not what my comedy's about. You know, the things I poke fun at, even I think men get nervous with that comedy. I mean, you've seen my act, you know what I do. I think men think I'm going to be mean to them or say mean things. And then when I don't even go that route at all, you know, I make a joke about not doing that. They love that because that's, you know, acceptance. Everybody in the whole world just wants love and acceptance. That's all everybody wants. So I don't know why there's so much hate in the opposite direction. You think that, I think it's because they don't feel that love and acceptance. So they feel like, well, you know, maybe no one should, I don't know.
I agree with you. I think with the PC culture, I think there's common sense, and just with any topic, you can go too far one way and absolutely too far the other. Now, mm-hmm. Okay, I believe anything can be funny, but that doesn't mean that you can tell it, that you can say it.
Right.
So, there's, and you know, the make fun of up, don't make fun of down. Don't be, you know, don't be a complete, don't be an asshole. You know,
it's so simple.
I don't think there's a big issue there, like what some people were trying to make it. Now I will say this, and this is something that, I had to be enlightened on, you know, with the whole Me Too movement thing that was happening there for a while, whenever it came out about Louis, okay,
yeah,
that straight up broke my heart because I was a diehard. I love some Louis C.K. I love, yeah, in my opinion, Jen, I think Louis was on his way to becoming, you know, Carlin and Pryor. He was on his way up there, yep, you know? Yep. And then when I heard that story, okay, now first, I was only in man brain. I was thinking, well, you know, he asked first and they didn't say no and he didn't touch him. I mean, come on, was it really that bad? You know, well, it wasn't until that I spoke with a comic who was a female, you know, and she said, Danny, here's the problem. He was in a position of power. So they, of course, if Louis C.K. says, hey, come up to my room, hang out with me, you're a comic, you're hell yeah, you're going to go.
Yeah, you want to make a new friend, maybe he'll let you open for him. You don't know.
Absolutely. And yeah, then he whips out his junk. You know, I'm going to show you my junk. Is that okay? Oh, man, you know, this sucks. I really want to open for Louis. Let me endure this side they're dealing with all the crap, you know. So. And then I heard stories also from this particular comic of how much stuff that she had to deal with in those type of situations with comedy club owners and just or headlining acts she trying to open for them. Stuff that I had never, ever, ever in a million years had to even think about or deal with. So that changed my whole tune and opened my eyes on it. And that's also why, you know, another reason I always try to know people different from me. You know, so I can see your perspective, you know, or someone else's perspective instead of my own narrow little path.
Yeah.
There's a trick that I do in my show. Okay. And it's, there was a gag where, you know, I would talk about, you know, is your car in my pocket? There's a hole in my pocket. Now, granted, I don't bring a young girl up on stage and do that. No, that would be Captain Creeper. You know, you would look horrible. It'd be, you know, horrible. But now I will say this: I prefer to bring a dude up on stage, and you know, yeah, some macho man dude, you know, some big burly redneck boy, and do that. But now I have noticed this. This is interesting. I have had an older, much older women. You know, I'm talking 60, 70 year old lady come up on stage and. Boy, she'll try to get elbow deep down in that pocket, man. It's just so, which I mean, that doesn't, you know, I mainly always try to pick a dude in the audience, but it's stuff like that though, too, that, you know, makes you aware. It's like, you know, there's been creepy magicians out there that's try to pick the hottest girl in the crowd and then, you know, treat her like, you know, a piece of meat or something. So well, I think it's a good thing that we're conscious on PC somewhat.
Well, the thing is that there's a world that exists for men and then there's a world that exists for women and they're completely different. And the reason I know that is because I like women, I get kind of lumped in with the men's club, but they still don't treat me any better. I've so much misogyny, so much gross shit. You know, I was just in Myrtle Beach a couple weekends ago. One of the openers was talking to me. As we're talking, he just starts looking down at my chest and looking back up. And it was like, so gross. It was like, dude, you know, you're not even attracted to me. Why would you even do that? But it's just this complete and total lack of respect that people have for women. And they don't, and it's worldwide. And it starts with small things. It starts with small transgressions and things that we let slide and we let slide and we let slide until you're in somebody's hotel room that you think could advance your career and he's asking you to look at his dick. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem. That's where we get into it. Like, is that a big deal? Like, fuck yeah, that's a big deal, man. Like, he's a rich man. You don't have to do that to other comics. You know, you can pay somebody for jollies like that. Like, that's all about power. See, if it was just about sex, that's a different thing. Because sex, you know, whatever. You like what you like. But that was him being able to, he knew they weren't going to say no. That was the whole, that's what he got off on. That's what it was. There's, they weren't watching porn. You know what I mean? Like, that was, that's the dynamic and that's the whole thing. And men for so long have felt like they have this right to women's bodies and to what we say or what we do. And it's just, it's weird, man. And I feel sorry for, you know, the real, the female girly comics. I mean, I'm probably saying this wrong. You're going to get letters. but you know, I feel bad for my prettier, more female counterparts. Cause I know it's even worse for them. I can't imagine the things they have to listen to. So that's where the problem is. And it is, PC culture is good because it keeps people from just abusing that all the time. How many times has someone made you feel like that as a man? You know,
I've never, ever.
Even if you're, especially you're a professional career, right? You know, no man's ever been like, hey, Danny, is that a wand in your pocket? Show me some trick, you know? But I mean, think about that. And even if they were joking, you know, that constant, we're comedians. We both know most truth is said in jest. Most of the stuff I'm joking about, there's a very hard kernel of truth in the middle of it.
Yep.
And that's the thing, I think, that, you know, people, oh, it's a joke. People have been wanting women to be like, oh, take it as a joke for so long that it's just like, where does the joke end? Where does it stop being funny? You know, when we're raped and we don't, the persecutor's not, you know, fucking that guy that was Brock Turner got no time, you know, like, where does the joke end when we're hurt and we can't get it back, I guess. So that's why, you know, do we need to chomp down on everybody's head that's out there doing things? No. People use different language than we do, but, you know, do we need to keep a rein on the kind of things that people are joking about? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's the same thing with racism. That's why we have a racist problem in this country, is because we've made these racist jokes so long. They're so funny. And it's allowed people to think that behavior is okay when it's, man, it's not. It's tired. It's played out. We could be having a lot more fun. I say this in one of my sets and it's a true thing and it's very misogynistic, but I don't care. We could all be enjoying looking at boobies if some of y'all could be fucking cool, but you can't be cool. So we can't have nice things. Cause you know what I'm saying? Women don't like bras. They don't want to wear shirts, but everywhere they went, you know,
that's true. That is so true.
It's a hard fact. When you really start to think about it, there are plenty of women that would be down for that, but people can't be cool.
That is so true. You know, this is, I'd like to know what your opinion is on this. And I hate, you know, I didn't typically want to make this, you know, a lesbian comic topic, but it looks like that's kind of direction we're going here.
Happens.
Not even on lesbian, but female comic. The female comics that are famous right now, do you like, what's your opinion? I mean, do you think, because to me, I'll be honest with you, like I said, my top five comics, I know a lot of female comics, you know, comics that just happen to be female that are super funny, that should be, that need a Netflix special, that need to be in the spotlight. But some of the comics that I see that are female, the ones that are kind of there, it seems like, you know, Hollywood or somewhere has not figured it out yet.
Yeah. Man, guys been making straight white dudes dreams come true forever. I mean, me and Dusty Slay have come up at the same time. I've beat him in competition several times. He's way more famous than me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the key is. And and everybody that's famous will tell you, cause you know, like I've talked to Drew and I've talked to Trey and, you know, and I've talked to plenty of people that are famous that, you know, I've met coming through the way. None of them have the same story. None of them. They can't tell you a certain thing you do. You just have to be in the right place. It just happens. It just either it's going to happen or it ain't. And that's the kind of the thing you got to live with as a comic, is just like, well, and I mean, for me personally, I mean, I would be happy just to make a decent living. I would be happy to have enough money to, you know, comfortably move out of my parents' house. Little dog and wife money. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to be uber famous. I would love to be successful And I constantly can't shake the feeling that I make less than my male counterparts. Now, I never ask, you know, but I have a feeling I almost positively do, you know?
That's
so
ridiculous.
Weird.
And,
yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, when you look at someone like Amy Schumer, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, yeah. You know, why is she where she is, you know? And if you guys want to do something, if you want to progress and give, you know, female entertainers, you know, more opportunities, are you really doing it, or are you cherry picking what you think? You know, it's just, it doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah. And I mean, I see just a lot of mediocre dudes and only so many women that they pick. And I'm just like, you didn't even pick some of the fun. Some of them, there's some women out there that haven't been discovered yet that are just ridiculous. I mean, Spencer Taylor is phenomenal. She's brilliant. Now, I know she's a writer in LA, but she's actually a really, really funny comedian. You know, like, she kills me. But we'll see. Maybe God will take notice here, Danny. I don't know. Any day. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. God will take notice of Jen Snyder. I tell you what. Well, tell us about, can you talk about any of this cartoon, this voiceover work? Can you talk any about it?
Yeah. He has officially signed the deal. We hadn't started recording him, but yeah, he's get to do the voice of a character on Jet Boy. It's going to be on Netflix. It's about a little boy who has superpowers, and he's kind of like he's like a superhero, and he has dealings with mercenaries and things like that. And he's still very young. He's like in middle school or something like that. So it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited. That's about all I can say about it. And then during 2020, again, speaking of Trey Crowder, I got to work with him on his show called South and Off, which is like, I think he was doing in person before the quarantine, but because of that, we got to do it in cartoon. So I got to actually be made into a cartoon on his show, which that was really, really cool. And I got to meet Mia Jackson for the first time and work with her. And she's another person. Like, Mia should be uber famous. Like, she's so clean and so funny. Oh, my God. She's so funny. She's one of the funniest comics I think I've ever worked with. And yeah, like, those are some of the names that I think, you know, when I think people, women that should be up there, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot. Maggie Mae, so many. Anyways, I digress. I'm sorry.
Well, that's cool, though, that you're, you know, getting to do some cool things and projects and stuff. The and like I said, you know, who knows, you know, but maybe people will finally, you know, wake up and take notice of how funny Jen Snyder is.
Well, thanks, brother.
Well, I think most people know, but, you know, the people with money, I guess.
Yeah, they would give me some.
Okay, now, you're originally from South Carolina, correct? That's where you're born and raised?
Yep.
Now, and you said, you know, you got most of your humor based off, you know, growing up being a lesbian little girl probably in South Carolina. I mean, you guys, I thought Tennessee was like conservative and religious, but when I was in South Carolina last, I mean, there was like, I think I saw 15 churches in one school on the way to that show. I mean, it's crazy.
We love Bibles.
Okay. Now, where was the first time you got on stage? Let's hear that story. The first time Jen Snyder got on stage.
I was 13. I was in middle school, and it was for my middle school talent show. I did sight gags. I had some props. I had some of those glasses. I did a joke with that. I did a card trick, you'll be glad to know. I made fun of my mom a lot. And they didn't have, like, a winner, but the top three acts got to go the next day and do assemblies for all three grades. So I got to be out of the school the whole next day, and it was amazing. And I was like, this is it. And then, of course, I did nothing through my 20s and just ignored my skills because I was young and gay and partying. And then right around when I was 30, my mom got me a class in Atlanta with Manny Alvera, and I went and took it. And that's when I was like, I got to get serious about this. This is what I want to do with my life. I don't want to do anything else. And that's all she wrote, and I'm doing it ever since. So
that is super cool. I didn't know that. No, so you actually did like a class.
Yeah, I've taken a couple classes actually. I know people talk shit about that, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, if you want to be great at something, why wouldn't you learn some techniques. Why wouldn't you, you know, try to seek out some more skill sets than the one you have?
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I remember I did some improv, you know, like we all know improv guys and stuff. And I did some improv stuff. And the first time ever doing that, it was terrifying. And I was like, God, I can't believe, you know, this. You guys are tough. You guys, you know, damn. I have an idea what I'm going to say when I come up here, but damn, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, the more tools that you can collect and use in your arsenal, the better. So, but yeah. So how long have you been doing comedy, though? How long have you been doing stand-up now?
So right around probably 11 or 12 years now. I like to say less time because I'm embarrassed that I'm not more famous, but it's about that. Yeah. It's getting up there.
You can definitely tell, you know, that you've been doing it that long as far as your material. And like I said, how solid of a comic you are. Is there anything else that you wanted to be other than an entertainer? Because you said you were 13, so that's really young to kind of sound, you know, to figure it out. Is there anything else that you ever thought about doing?
Yeah, an actor or a rock star. So I was never going to be normal, Danny. That was never in the cards. I would need attention no matter what.
I think a lot of comics want to be rock stars too, you know. I think that's a norm. I think that's just something in us.
Yeah.
I'm definitely glad you chose the comic side. I tell you what, card tricks. All right, this is the Abracadam podcast, Jen Snyder.
Yeah.
You mentioned card tricks, so I'm about to show you a card trick. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. You like card tricks, all right?
Let's
do this. Okay. I'm gonna try to do a mind reading trick. Okay. We're gonna try to get inside your head.
All right.
And decorate. Here we go. Can you see these cards? You see them?
Yep.
All right. I want you to think of just one of those cards. Just think of it. Don't tell me, just think of one. You got it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, hold on. I'm going to lose the cards. I'm going to shuffle the cards, put them in the deck here. Okay?
Okay.
Let me ask you something, Jen.
Yeah.
The card you're thinking of, is it a high card, a low card, or kind of in the middle?
It's a high card.
High card. Just like Jen Snyder, it's a high card. Here we go.
Exactly.
I tell you what, I'm going to cut right here, okay? Right. I'm obligated, Jen. Okay. All right? Now, keep in mind, they can't see us. They can only hear us.
Okay.
In a loud voice, what was the card you're just thinking of?
A jack.
Okay. Hold on. I cut to one card right here.
All right.
I've got a card right here. You're thinking of a jack.
Yes.
What color was the jack?
It's black.
It was black, wasn't it? I tell you what, Jen.
How did you do that? That's really good.
The jack of clubs.
There
yep,
that's go. It. That's a card. Damn.
Right.
Ooh, way to go, Danny.
I sold my soul to the devil. You know, he was like, you know, you want $1 million? And I was like, no, I want to do card tricks. And while you're at it, throw some red hair in there too for me, could you? There, Belly.
Oh
up.
My God.
So you've been abracadamed.
That's amazing. I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed.
I tell you what. Now you said sight gags, right? So I love sight gags. Do you want to see here? Do you want to see an old gag of mine?
Sure.
Okay, here you go. Check it out. It's an old gag.
God, I can't believe you just had that ready. That's troubling. That's funny.
Oh man, but actually,
y'all.
What's that, Jen?
I said, he actually had a ball gag, y'all, because they can't see it. So I needed them to know.
I tell you, next time you're at the Grove Theater, I'm gonna have to invite you over. You got to see this crazy place that I live in. It's
oh, yeah, for sure.
It's wild. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because you know I've known you for years, and you have come to the Grove Theater to perform, and you're like Wonder Woman, you know, you just kill it everywhere you go. But I want to hear something. I've got to humanize you a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Every guest that comes on the show, comic, magician, whoever, I have them tell a Hell Geek story. So let's hear a Jen Snyder Hell Geek story.
Okay. So I guess about 6 years ago, I had a good friend who was like, will you come play this gig on Two Notch Road with me? And like Two Notch Road is kind of like, I don't know. Do y'all have like a bad street in tennis in Knoxville, you know, like where the hookers hang out and you can always get drugs and it's Two Notch, the place there. So I was like, I was already a little leery, but I was like, whatever. So we get to this place and it's a strip club that is closed on Sundays, and they've decided to do a comedy show, which is fine there. And I was with my friend Ron C, and I love Ron. We've worked together a couple of times. He was cool. I was one of like three or four white people there. Again, I don't care. Not a problem. We're having a good time. This guy named Barry White was hosting it, and I don't care about saying his name because he's a jerk. I think he's still an Atlanta comic. I don't give a damn. If you hear this, Barry, fuck you. he's wearing this like shiny ass suit that was supposed to look expensive, but it just looked cheap and slick. He looks like an extra off of My Blue Heaven. He just, I don't know. Anyways, he's doing his, he's introing me. So he brought me up, and I did a great set, man. I had a good time. Like black people were high fiving me. They don't just give you high fives when you're white, you know, for no reason. If you don't do a good job, you know, they're a harsh crowd, especially to a white comic, which I'm down for. So I know I had a good set and I was doing good and I was feeling good and people were happy. And he gets up there and automatically just starts in on me. And he's like, yeah, you know, you say you ain't need dick. You just ain't had no good dick yet. That's, you know, you said had the right dick yet, blah, blah. And so I'm just kind of like, and I was like, I know you got a mohawk. I see your head over there. Just think you're so bad, blah, blah. He's like, take your hat off. Show everybody your mohawk. And I was like, no. And he was like, take your fucking hat off. And I was like, no. He hopped off the stage. He got like about an inch away from my face and he's like, take your motherfucking hat off. I said so. And I was just like, dude, I'm not going to let you embarrass me like that. And I went to grab the mic to say something. And he was like, no, you don't take this mic. I got the dick in this house. You got the pussy. You don't take this mic. And then like, he finally like, and I was so close to punching him in the face, and I was just starting out in my career, and no, it wasn't a big gig, but I felt like it was probably something that would follow me places. And more importantly, it was going to follow my own soul places. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt like I had to rise above it. Like, if this is what I wanted to do, and this is, you know, I had to figure out a way to just ignore it. So I didn't punch him in the face. I was like, just rage welling up inside. And finally he walked off and he's like, yeah, you think that's funny later, blah, blah. And just, and that was it. And then I went out to the car, of course, and cried like a little bitch, not in front of people. I waited till I got to the car. But yeah, it was, broke my heart in so many ways, and he never apologized, and it was bad. It was really bad. And
asshole.
He was. He tried to friend me on Facebook years later. I'm like, you obviously don't remember embarrassing me like that. Like, I don't know. I think he was drunk, and I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, it was weird. I didn't see the point in it, but yeah, he said that while he was in my face, he's like, you want to punch me, don't you? You want to punch me? I'm just like, you know I do. Why are you? It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Man. Yeah. But that's my hell gig, and it definitely humbled me, but it taught me that, you know, I'm going to have to put up with some things. If you want your dream, you gotta really go after it, and you got to deal with things that aren't pleasant. So.
Yeah, there's always those things like that, you know, unfortunately. I believe everyone, but that sucks. So that being from another comic, and you know, apparently he was threatened by you, and you said this was in the early days, correct?
Yeah, it was like 6 years ago. So I was like still working on my stuff. Like I was halfway through my career. Like, well, that's weird, man. It was weird, but you know,
he was threatened by you. You know, so I'm sure you were much funnier than he was. So
he was not funny. That I will say that. Like I don't know if he realized that or not, but he was not getting a good reaction from the crowd. And I think that's I've had comics do that before. I've had comics see me do good and then go up and say something mean afterwards, and it's just because I'm like, you're just straight up jelly. You're jelly. You can't handle it, and so you say something mean. So, you know, you let people be them.
Well, screw that guy.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, agreed. Damn. Do you got a funny gig story? Because that was depressing as hell, Jen Snyder.
I mean, I've done a lot of really fun ones. I got to do a show in Seattle, you know, where weed is legal. It's run by Billy Anderson. I don't know if you know Billy. Billy's a good guy.
Don't know Billy.
If you don't, because he'd be fun to interview and he's cool. But he's from Augusta, South Carolina, and he runs a show in Seattle where he literally pays you to get high. So you do a sober set and then you go backstage and you smoke a joint. You come out and do a high set, which I was like, you just paid me to do this for free. And it is really fun and it was amazing. And I was there on 420 and a guy came out while we were smoking our one joint with a joint the size of a baby's arm. And we all got to smoke it. And that was the day I realized that no amount of weed can kill me, Danny. No amount. I can take as much as you can possibly throw at me. But yeah, that was really fun. And I've always thought that was one of the highlights of my career, getting paid to smoke weed and do comedy. Like, that's my dream.
That's some of the cool things about this, because you do get to experience some different things that normal folk don't. And you're like, I can't believe I'm getting paid right now to right. do this. So,
absolutely.
And so that was in Seattle, correct?
Yep. Yep. Where it's legal, listeners.
Now, what was that? Because, like I said, that had to be like the difference between daylight and dark between South Carolina and Seattle.
Oh, it's so fun there, but they're more, you know, you think it's there's any PC culture out here. Forget about it out there. You got to really, you need to mind your P's and Q's when you're out there in Portland and Seattle. They don't play. They're very serious about their woke culture.
Oh, yeah. I got a good friend of mine. He lives in Portland, and, you know, he likes it out there. You know, it's beautiful. That's a lot of things a lot of people, you know, associated with, but also he's thinking about coming back to Tennessee to live, but he's gotten so used with marijuana being legal. it would be strange for him to come back here. Do you think it'll ever be legal in South Carolina or Tennessee? Do you think we'll ever see it legal?
Yeah. 2 years. Mark my words.
Two years
we'll have it. It's too profitable. They're making money hand over fist out there. And you think you got to have a good dispensary or nothing? No, even the ones with just the most janky places ever are packed out. Like, weed doesn't know a social or economic boundary. The poor smoke it, the richest of the rich smoke it, and everybody in between, professionals, nobodies, comics, you know, everybody. So I can't wait till it hits, because there's going to be so many opportunities for comics. And you wouldn't think that was true, but Billy was killing it before COVID. And that shit's going to happen on the East Coast, too. We're going to be able to take advantage of some of those things. So,
well, you know, one thing that I've always talked about is I think it's absolutely ridiculous that it's not legal. But yeah. In Tennessee and North Carolina especially, this area is the best area in the country to grow it.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee and North Carolina were tobacco growing states, and marijuana grows great here, too.
Yep.
There's so many advantages they could do to, you know, but hopeful 2 years. Wow.
Yeah, I think. We got to get out of this COVID shit, but 2 years, man, 2 years.
You got to get out of the COVID. So how have you been, dealing with quarantine and COVID? I mean, have you been doing a lot of writing or is it your Facebook stream been kind of keeping you on your toes?
So that's basically my corn tubbies were how I made money. Like, people just tipping me for just doing them and stuff like that. And God bless everybody that got me through 2020. I also did some writing for a card game called, or a company called Fitz Games. And they make these games called The Queer Agenda. I think one's called Horror Box. But they're like, kind of like Cards Against Humanity, but like that type of play. So I did that, and that was amazing. That was really cool. I got to meet a lot of really great comics from across the country and work with them. We're on the East Coast. Things are opened up here, and they're not back to normal, but I don't send out avails, but people have been contacting me for gigs, and I've been going because my car payment has not stopped. My insurance has not stopped. Yeah.
I just did a show at Gypsy Cider Circus in Kingsport, which I love that venue. Absolutely love it. And I need the money, you know. Yeah, right. I've got bills I've got to pay, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna sit here and say that I didn't love standing on a stage in front of an audience. It made me feel, normal, even though everything is so unnormal right now.
Yeah.
We are more opened up, and but at the same time, the thing that sucks, Jen, is when you do those gigs, do you have that little voice in the back of your head that says, your ass gonna get sick,
Bro, yeah, all the time. And I what I really don't like is other comics giving me shit about how careful I am. Like, I don't hang out with you in the backstage without wearing a mask. I'm gonna wear it the whole time. I don't give a shit. I don't know you, bro. This one dude tried to get me to go to the strip club last time I ordered a Myrtle Beach. I was like, are you crazy? I wouldn't go in normal circumstances, but you think I'm going to go in COVID times? You're an idiot. I bring my own mic now, Danny. I don't even care. I don't even ask. I just get up on stage and do it. And after the first night, they know to just leave it over for me. But I don't give a damn. I'm not playing with my safety or my parents' safety. So I've been ultra sensitive about it. And I've had people give me a lot of shit, but I don't care. I'm hand sanny everywhere I go. Like, I'm going to be as careful as I can be. And if I still get it, so be it. But, again, we need money. You got to pay your bills. Like, no one's helping us out. No one's giving us any relief. No one's stopped payments of any sort. Like, they did nothing for us for a whole year except for tell us that we couldn't do the things that we needed to do to make money. So I don't feel bad about it. And the other thing is just as good as it feels for you and me to be on a stage, those people feel good being in that audience. They want to be there. They want to see something. They want some normalcy. They're so sad. We're in the middle of a mental health crisis. And if you don't think comedy is important, then you're an idiot. Cause like it's people need it right now. They need to laugh. They need to feel normal for just 5 fucking seconds so they can get through the rest of the, 24-hour nightmare that we're all freaking living. So we got to do what we got to do, brother. That's how I feel.
You're absolutely right. And people need to laugh. They need this right now. So,
yep.
The thing with the mics, I do the same thing. I don't go up there trusting somebody's mic. I had a scare actually happen a few months back. So I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that no more. Just on the mic thing. I tell you what, we live in a supercharged political time now. And I got to ask a political question. And I didn't even know which one I was going to ask you. But this is something that I find interesting. And do you think we will ever see not just this is a double whammy. Do you think we will ever see a lesbian president?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as soon as everybody our age dies, yeah. Danny, and I mean, you probably know this because you got kids, but these kids, they're not like us.
They're not.
They don't live in these boxes that we put ourselves in. They don't do it, man. They don't care. They're tired of us, and they're tired of our ways. And honestly, I'm tired of us, too. We fucked up. We need to give these kids a chance. These AOCs and these Buttigiegs and that, you know what I'm saying? Not that AOC's gay, but you know what I'm saying? Like, these... It's happening. It's time. And, I don't mean to be mean to your people. Thanks, straight white men, for making America. God bless you. You got us this far, but your time's over. You enjoyed it so long. You had a great run, man. Y'all did. Y'all owned everything forever. But we've heard your stories. We've seen it. It's time for other people, man.
Well, I think, first of all, I think, let's just go on the stereotypical, aspect. What would a lesbian president be like? Let's hear it, Jen. I want your aspect. Let's hear it.
I mean, a lesbian president would probably be a little bit stricter on things. I don't see us, probably some much better health care, first of all, because, women have been vastly ignored through years. Probably some, better golf courses, some real emphasis on sports. chop conferences, wearing Crocs around the Oval Office. I don't know. The garden gets really good. I don't know. Be good. I just don't think they would probably, they probably wouldn't engage in war as much. They'd probably just like not talk to other countries. We're just like, we're not speaking to Canada until they get their shit together. I'm sorry. And then we just get really drunk one night. We call Canada and apologize. It'll be fine. So that's what I think.
I think that's awesome. You know what? Maybe we'll be old and crusty people by the time this Gen Z gets into office and starts running things. But I think you're right. You know, I see it with my daughter, you know, and definitely with my son. Where, you know, he's been in a relationship now for a while, and, you know, he's super happy, and my daughter sees that. And, you know, it's just, you know, the kids are different, you know, they're just totally different. And I'm hopeful for the future with them, if we can make it that far, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope we can weather the storm for their sake, because they deserve it. They'll work towards something good. They'll actually probably take care of us when we're old. Danny might be in a good nursing home, the kind with food.
You know, I think about that. I'm like, man, I don't. Gosh, I wonder which one of my kids will take care of me. I think it would be my. I don't know if I want Brennan, because Brennan might be too picky and too hard on me. I don't know. A gay, you know, gay guy, and I don't know. You know,
that doesn't fit in the aesthetics of the room. Just start being nice now, Danny. Start being nice now, buddy.
What I'll have to do now. You got pets, right?
No, my parents have pets, but I don't.
Okay, I thought I've seen you post pictures of a.
That's my mom. Very cute. That's just post pictures. Yeah, not much.
Okay, well, you know, I've had some guests on here. Joey and Justin they're married. Gay couple here in East Tennessee, and they've actually adopted a son, and they raise, and which, you know, I think is, oh my God, fantastic. Now is that something maybe you ever think about doing any adoption someday, possibly? If
yeah, if I was a successful comic and I had the opportunity and the means to give somebody a good life, I would, and I had a partner. I don't do it by myself. I'm not Cat Williams, but if I was in a solid relationship and we were happy, I would definitely want to share that with somebody else. I would adopt, though. I would definitely adopt. I wouldn't try to have it. If she really wanted to have it, that's fine. But most likely, I would adopt.
I think adoption is awesome, you know, fantastic thing to do, you know. You know, I've seen Tennessee has tried to stop gay couples from being able to adopt by using the whole loophole that, you know, the adoption agency can base it off their religion, you know. Yeah. And then they can turn around and let a straight couple adopt a child, and that straight couple turn around. And honestly, this has happened right here in Knoxville. We found, you know, there was a family that was murdering the kids, literally killing the children.
Oh, my God. And
I'm like, wow, but they were straight, though.
Yeah.
Woo.
Thank God they didn't turn out gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man.
So, but yeah, hopefully we'll see, you know, things like that open up and change, too. Do you got any upcoming gigs, anything before we get out of here? Because you said you are doing some, anything you would like to plug? Where can these people find Jen Snyder?
You know, nowhere really too far out so far. April 24th, I'll be in a place called Random Tap in Greer, South Carolina. So look for that. And then I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina at Grape and Agave on March, whatever the first Thursday in March is. I can't look at my calendar right now, but sometime in March. Follow me on Facebook at Jen Snyder, Jen Snyder, J-E-N-N, S-N-Y-D-E-R on Facebook, and Jester Jen 13 on Insta. And Jen Snyder on TikTok too. Follow me on TikTok for the love of God, please.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, folks, if you have not seen Jen Snyder on stage, she is one funny mofo, I promise.
You're sweet, man. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Hey, Jen, thank you for coming on.
All right, that does it for this episode of the Abracadam Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Jen Snyder. She is such a good person and a funny comic. If you guys have not had a chance, be sure to check her out on social media, Jen Snyder. And if you could see her anywhere possible, definitely you don't want to miss it because she is hilarious. I want to say thank you guys for following and subscribing the podcast. Keep spreading the words. Let people know. And like always, abracadamits, thank you for listening.